Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour cosmic cocktail party. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome inside a Trash Tuesday edition, everybody. What's eating you? What's eating Gilbert Grape? Let's vent here together. Coming up next hour, it's Trash Tuesday, so anything that might be under your skin, anything that might be annoying you, we take out the trash on. So you can hit me up on Twitter for your trashings. I will read them on the show, at DA on CBS. Also, you can dial us up and utilize Trash Tuesday that way at 855-212-4227. Also, NBA longtime writer Ian Thompson's going to join us. He has also written a new book, The Soul of Basketball. We'll talk to him about the NBA playoffs, the Warriors flipping the switch again last night in game number 2 over the Spurs, and what a night it was to turn back the clock for Dwayne Wade in Philadelphia. That plus many more playoff headlines coming up with Ian Thompson later on this hour in about 35 minutes from now. Was Pop taking a shot at Kawhi through his warm words for LaMarcus? Tom Brady reportedly leading an insurrection against Bill Belichick. Really? Shohei Ohtani asks for quiet at the theater, and I will review 2 new sports documentaries, Andre the Giant from HBO, as well as the 30 for 30, The Last Days of Bobby Knight, coming up this morning on the show. So a lot to get to. As always, as I mentioned on a Trash Tuesday, looking for your phone calls, also on Twitter, DA on CBS, and watch the proceedings go down with the digital simulcast at watchda.com. Let's begin Eastern Conference Finals, game number 2. Sixers had put up 130 points on Miami in game number 1. Game number 2, the Heat looking for that split, and they get it. And they get it primarily because Dwayne Wade has himself a vintage Dwayne Wade night. 28 points off the bench. Wade didn't even start. And he single-handedly leads the Heat to a Game 2 victory. And in the process, part of the pun, Joel Embiid lashes out at an organization he thinks is, quote, babying him and not allowing him to play. Wade was remarkable last night, not only knocking down jumpers, showing an explosion through the lane, but also the steal and the finish, which Brett Brown admitted turned around that game as the Sixers had clawed to within just a bucket, 98-96. But a steal and a breakaway and a layup the other way was the turning point, and the Heat went on from there to the win. But with Embiid now getting gripey and taking to social media to express said gripiness,
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter,
the Sixers are now 1-1 in a series, going to Miami for two games, and Embiid is still not cleared to come back. Does Philly suddenly have an Embiid problem? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Back with it comes Simmons. Bounce pass Saric. Ball stripped there. Down the floor, Dwayne Wade's got a free one. Wade got a two-hand jam. What a great job by Wade. Wade straight up top now. Wade, you look at the double team. Wade puts up a tough shot. Got it to go, Wade! From way up top, the Heat up now by eight.
For the most part, to be able to come through for your team when they need you to, that feels good. The reason I was brought here is for a game like this. When they cut it to two, to come back in the game and settle everything. And, so I'm glad I could do that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Mike English on Heat Radio. Wade after his sublime night. It was just a joy to watch Wade. Future Hall of Famer, top 30, top 25 player of all time, one of the great postseason, big-time ballers, have himself a night like that when it mattered most to his team, because without Wade's 28 points, not only does the Heat lose, but the Heat gets blown out yet again. He was everything for Miami. He set the tone. He got more out of the guys. Hassan Whiteside plays 15 minutes last night. He's supposed to be your cornerstone guy. So Wade was everything to Miami. And it just was such a throwback kind of night to his 2006 postseason, where he carried the Heat with an aging Shaq. And then, of course, had that impeccable NBA Finals with the four games in a row against the Dallas Mavericks after the Mavs had taken the first two games of the series, combined with those four NBA finals in a row with LeBron and those Heat teams. It was just cool to watch Wade at his easel as an artist doing it again. But when Joel Embiid lashes out, I think the Sixers franchise has to listen. And I'm not saying they're not going to protect him from himself, but remember that Joel Embiid is not dealing with a foot injury, an ankle injury, a leg injury, a knee injury. This was a fracture around his eye. And even if you have a mask on Embiid, it feels like this is the time you have got to break glass in case of emergency. Embiid clearly feels like he needs to be back. He feels like they are putting kid gloves on him and he wants to play. And if this was his foot, if this was his toe, if this was his ankle, if this was the normal stuff that we worry about with a big man, I would understand being really careful. But throw the mask on Embiid and let him go out there if he wants to play and he feels like he's ready. We were told leading into this series he was going to play at some point in time, and now it feels like it's going to happen in Miami. But there is no definitive word. It might not happen in game three. It might wait until game number four. I think for the Sixers, it's time now. If they had gotten the first two at home, maybe it builds up a little bit of a safety blanket. It builds up a little security net here, if you will. But now getting the split at 1-1, yeah, I think you've got to pull the bubble wrap off of Embiid and put him in there. I'll also say this. As great as yesterday was for Wade and the Heat, they ain't getting that from Dwayne Wade again this series. I mean, that was just kind of a next level effort off of the bench. But Wade's not going to be able to summon that every night. This is not 2006, 2007, 2008, even 2012 Dwayne Wade. This is a Dwayne Wade now into his mid-30s. And the simple fact is he can't dig that deep for that effort every night in this series. The Sixers are more talented. And once you put Embiid out there on the floor, they're going to be supremely more talented. Again, the Sixers have been able to play fast and small without Embiid in there. But last night it showed you that you can be vulnerable to a big game from one of the Heat players. And last night that was Wade. You're not going to get that again. I think the Sixers don't have much to worry about in the series, assuming they're going to get Embiid back sooner rather than later. But to me, okay, it's nice. You kept him out the first two games. Let's see him back there into the lineup as this series shifts to Miami. You certainly don't want to fall down 2-1 or even 3-1 playing these next two on the road. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, as I mentioned before, DA on CBS. As for the other postseason series last night, the Warriors and the Spurs. Spurs gave it an effort. They're always going to give it an effort. San Antonio actually had the lead at the break. But too much Warriors in the third and fourth quarters, and Golden State goes on for the double-digit win. It's another yawn, ho-hum, Golden State runaway victory in the playoffs. And this is why Kawhi Leonard not being on the floor, not being on the bench, not being suited up in just a three-piece, not even in his jersey and playing, is so unforgivable for Kawhi. Chris Mannix, NBA insider, joined Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio yesterday. It was a phenomenal interview. And as Mannix pointed out, and he was right on, is there not a value to Kawhi Leonard being behind the bench, being one of the only guys in the NBA that can lock down Kevin Durant? Is there not a value for Kawhi Leonard to be with his guys and saying, hey, play him like this. Hey, shift over here. Hey, this is what works for me. Instead, Kawhi is taking his ball and going home and quote-unquote rehabbing in New York, nowhere near his teammates. That's a sin. That's unforgivable. That is a terrible look, and that is ridiculous by Kawhi Leonard. Even if you can't play, there is something you can add to that team. And do you think the Spurs might want to see Kawhi at least with them, even if he's in a suit, as they battle one of the best teams maybe ever? Do you think that there is some value to Kawhi being behind the bench and telling guys, this is how you can play KD, this is how you can try to guard him, this is what I do? Of course there's a value, and Mannix was absolutely right. The fact that Kawhi is not with this team is a joke. When we come back, Draymond Green last night in that game gets a flagrant on a WWE chokehold. Plus, controversy envelops Taz and the Moose. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
You know, a cool way to listen to us is on your phone. You can download any number of apps. How about the CBS Sports app? You can just scroll over to the left-hand toolbar. Underneath all the leagues, you'll see CBS Sports Radio, one-touch streaming. Also, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or listen on Apple Music. To the DA Show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
That's okay. You don't need either one of those to listen to the show, Hurricane Jen. Coming up this hour, Ian Thompson's going to join us, longtime veteran NBA writer, to talk about the NBA postseason. He'll join us coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. As always, it's a Trash Tuesday. And so you can get a hold of us on the phone or on Twitter to let us know what's eating you at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Brian tweets, DA, if Joel Embiid can go, they have to play him. The Sixers can't hold him out any longer. Look, the Sixers have had this thing open up for them. The fact that with their 16-game win streak, they were able to surge into the 3 seed is enormous, because that means they get either a wounded Celtics team or a 7-seeded Bucks team. They're way more talented than both of those squads. So by virtue of getting out of this first round, you have the door open wide to get to the Eastern Finals. And as we've seen, the Cavaliers play no defense whatsoever. And if the Cavs get past the Raptors, it would suggest that Toronto had its own problems. And even if Toronto gets the Eastern Conference Finals, it's not like they can't be beat. I've said this before. I don't think that the Sixers are going to the NBA Finals. It's a lot to ask a team that's never made the postseason with this crew to win 3 NBA playoff series. But the gate is open for you. You can't screw around in this series now that you're going on the road with a split. Mess around and lose a pair here, it puts you up against a wall, and you're probably not going to come back from down 3-1. So having Embiid in street clothes right now, and he feels like he's ready to go, obviously, by virtue of his Instagram or whatever that was, his Snapchat post suggests that it's time to take the gloves off and let Embiid go out there and play. I agree. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Draymond Green last night in Game 2, a victory over the Spurs as Golden State takes a 2-0 series lead, gets a flagrant foul as he seems to kind of throw a bit of a wrestling-type chokehold at one of the Spurs.
It is what it is. Life goes on. More important things in life than worry about a flagrant point. Maybe get rescinded. I got choked, put in a chokehold like I was in WWE or something. So, you know, it may get rescinded. Who knows?
I just keep going back to what Kenyon Martin told us on Friday, that there are no more tough guys in the NBA because you can't retaliate. So, real tough guys would bark. Real tough guys would trash talk. Real tough guys in a previous era would know that if they threw a choke slam or choke hold or flagrant foul or elbow or whatever, there was going to be retaliation that comes with that. And so, if you really wanted to throw down, that's fine. But you knew you were getting it just as good as you gave it. Doesn't happen anymore. As Kenyon said, everything's a foul. So there's no real tough guys because there's no real physicality. There's no real retaliation. So guys are just chirpy. As Kenyon Martin said, Draymond Green is probably considered the tough guy of the NBA, but he's just the loudest. He said now enforcers, if you will, are just the loudest guys on the floor. And he's absolutely right. So, pardon me, I can't consider Draymond Green a real tough guy and a WWE-style chokehold. I mean, let's get real. It's a little bump, a little brush. It's what the NBA playoffs are now. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's worse, because it allows us to have a lot more open spacing, fluid style of offense, way more points. But when we hear Draymond Green wear the black hat, that's really, you have to have the context behind that, because that's very relative compared to previous NBA agitators. Brandon Bean is the Bills general manager. The Bills trading up to number 12 overall in the upcoming draft.
There's a lot of good players in this draft. That was the big thing of moving from 21 to 12. The natural assumption, I get it, they're moving up to get a quarterback, yada, yada, yada. No, we improved our draft position. A second round value jump to go from 21 to 12. We're excited about where that moves us, you know, on our draft board, the players that we see would be available there.
If you're the Bills, obviously quarterback has to be in your war room, on your draft board, has to be what you've talked about. If you don't have a quarterback there at 12 that you love, I'm not saying you have to take a quarterback. But considering Tyrod Taylor's gone and Nathan Peterman looked more like Jay Peterman last year on the field, I think it's obvious the Bills, who have been forever without a real franchise quarterback since the retirement of Jim Kelly, have to be looking at that at number 12. I think there's going to be the obvious run in QBs early. I think in the first three picks of the draft, you're getting three quarterbacks taken. I believe Browns, Giants, Jets will all go QB 1, 2, 3. And then the next pick will be the Browns at 4. They'll go either Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb, in my estimation. And then I think that the Broncos probably go quarterback at number 5. That means four quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first five picks of the draft. At 12, are you going to get a guy? Are you going to get a quarterback that you like? Mason Rudolph will be available there. Lamar Jackson will be available there. I doubt Baker Mayfield is available there, but maybe he is. Look, if you like any of those guys and you're the Bills, you got to take them. You have to. But are any of those guys that you like? I mean, Mason Rudolph's going to be there, but do you like him enough to take him at number 12? And finally, you guys know, we here on the DA show have had a little fun with Taz the Moose, as we have the segment at the end of the show called Cutline, where we go over some stories that did not make the cut.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And they have a segment at the end of their show called Leftovers. Kind of the same bit. So we had some fun about the bit and whether we had the bit first and if they're stealing the bit. But we love Tad of the Moose over here. They do a really, really great show. Highly encourage you to listen to it before we're on the air, 6 until 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. But it appears now there's another show with another bit that seems to cross over, and who had the idea first?
Imagine if we ever did that to the DA show. He and Maresh, their heads would catch on fire.
Oh, my God.
Forget we'd run around this place. There'd be meetings. Oh, forget emails would be sent.
Well, we got double agents all over this show for that show. One is Pete the Body.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They'd be like, hey, Mikey B, come in here. We want you to come in and talk about burnt ends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a barbecue
and
for people that
really favorite pork. And your favorite barbecue joints down in Virginia.
Yeah, oh, great question, D.A. I'd love to join you.
Yeah, sure. And as you know, just completely.
Just have Marash remind me.
Right.
Just punched in the back of the head.
Boom! We're having a barbecue tasting test. Yeah, Marash is going to eat 6 pounds of barbecue this morning. And we're going to see him physically. We're going to all watch as he physically throws up on the air. And secondly, we'd like you to be a part of it. By the way, when did you come up with BCS?
Oh, I feel like burnt ends right now.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
So that sound check. So they were talking about a segment that it sounds like the Rich Eisen show stole. Is this possible? They have a running bit, a running segment. Is this true? Bench cut start. You take three guys, three players, three athletes, three coaches, three teams, something like that. And one you really like, one you kind of like, one you don't like, right? So, but apparently, is this true that the Rich Eisen show has not bench cut start, but has cut bench start?
Yeah. Now,
is that possible?
I would suggest bringing Mike Bisceglia in for on honest purposes.
I don't know.
Because there's a timeline confusion. I think if I'm wrong, someone will correct me. I believe Taz and Moose did this once, put it away. It came back officially as bench cut start And in between those two things was when the first time Eisen did it. So,
look, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this from previous experience, and I'm not joking about this. I know other national radio shows and sometimes local shows as well steal bits. I know this.
Of course.
It happens. I'll tell you this from personal experience. I once sent a resume reel, a demo reel, okay? This was about 10 years ago, to a company for a job. I actually heard my bit on that company's airwaves a year later. Now, you're telling me that they created it out of thin air? I highly doubt it. This is what happens in radio. Some people have good ideas, yours truly. Other people, like execs, don't. And so they just end up stealing ideas because they don't have good ideas and saying, hey, I thought of something, and then passes it down to other shows. So I bet you Eisen's show heard Taz the Moose and just flat out stole it. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Happens all the time. Taz the Moose, I know this, didn't steal it from anybody else. They created it, right, Bilotti?
They did, yes.
And so what are the odds that the same exact bit is on two different nationally syndicated radio shows in the same month? No way. I bet you any money it was stolen. Any money.
It's not a big coincidence.
It's definitely not Taz and Moose's fault. I can speak from experience.
I would agree. I would agree. It's a safe haven around here. When we come back, Ian Thompson on the NBA playoffs, veteran senior NBA writer, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
Steve Spurrier joins us. Coach, good morning.
Hombre is a good friend, a buddy, a pal. I guess the Mexican word for that is sort of amigos, you know, a pal, a buddy, a good friend, something like that. And we can all be a bunch of buddies, really.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Steve Spurrier yesterday on the show defining hombre for us. We could all be a bunch of buddies, pals, amigos, friends. Good to hear. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest, longtime NBA writer, has covered so many of the greats of this generation and past generations. And he has written a new book called The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. Ian Thompson joins us this morning on the show to talk NBA postseason. Ian, good morning. How you doing, man?
Great, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is so good to have the NBA playoffs here. Already got some early cool stuff going on. And, you know, right now, obviously, a lot of attention centering around LeBron and what happened in Game 1 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. When you look at what happened in Game 1, do you think that's indicative of all of the problems we've kind of ignored this season simply because LeBron cleans things up?
Yeah, that is a great way of putting it. I hold him absolutely blameless in this. He's trying to bail out the boat and propel it forward at the same time. So one hand doing one and the other hand doing the other. And I think he's going to get by the series. I think they're going to win it, but it's going to be a very difficult playoffs. You know, the further LeBron goes in this playoffs, DA, it's going to be one of these stories building up. Can this old guy in his 15th year who played every game and led the league in minutes and has done everything you could have asked of him, can he lead a bunch of young nobodies, apart from Kevin Love, to the NBA Finals? It's going to be I think people are going to look at LeBron in a new light as this series or as this playoffs goes along. If he's able to keep this team afloat and push them forward, because this is not what he signed up for. And yet here he is giving this team a chance to win in spite of everything.
So who do we blame that on, that this Cavaliers roster is so flawed? I mean, do we have to hold LeBron accountable there for how this roster was built?
Well, they were built to win now, and they did. And they've made the NBA Finals every year that he's been there. And then Kyrie Irving left. Now, it turns out Kyrie Irving wouldn't have been available to them anyway, but he left. And that changes everything. You take away Kevin McHale from Larry Bird, it changes everything. Or take Kareem away from Magic. Take Dwayne Wade away from LeBron in Miami. You take the number two player out of a championship team, the whole thing falls apart. It hasn't fallen apart yet. There isn't a single team in the East that's got more than two stars in it. And Cleveland's got two stars between Kevin Love and LeBron. And when you're comparing two of a kind, LeBron is the ace. LeBron is the one that breaks the tie. That's why I think, in spite of their terrible defense, in spite of their inexperience and the youth of their roster, they still have a chance to win, because there's no Warriors team, there's no Rockets team in the East. It's going to be really fun to see what LeBron can do as the underdog this year.
Ian Thompson joins us. In your book, The Soul of Basketball, you really do a deep dive into the season where LeBron, his first year with the Miami Heat, where they, of course, lost to the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals. He had still been without a championship at that point in his career, nearing a decade in the NBA. What changed about LeBron and the trajectory of his career after that season?
You know, the easiest way to explain it is to go back to Pat Riley and LeBron. And in July of 2010, the night of the decision, when LeBron had gone on TV and announced that he was taking his talents to South Beach and he turned himself into a national villain, the most hated athlete in America, He flew on the private plane. He actually had two private planes fly down to Miami. And Pat Riley told me that he went out on the tarmac to meet LeBron as the plane landed. This is late at night. It must have been really warm, July. And LeBron comes out, and they embrace. And Pat could feel the weight of this guy leaning on him. He was heartbroken, LeBron was. I mean, we think of a guy that's got everything going for him, but he was 25 years old. He was supposed to be the chosen one, the next Jordan. He's a guy that likes to please people. And he just read the letter on the plane flying down from Dan Gilbert vilifying him. Dan Gilbert, 5 days earlier, tried to recruit LeBron by telling him how much he loved him, was now saying that he was a loser and a fraud and they're better off without him and all this stuff. He'd been driven away from the only home he'd ever known. So here you have LeBron, who's desperate to fulfill his potential, his future, and you have Pat Riley, who's desperate to win championships as he had in the past. And they both need each other. They're embracing there. And the whole league changed as a result of it. Pat and the Heat taught LeBron how to win, turned him into this player that he is today. And LeBron renewed Pat Riley, the godfather of the 80s. The Heat won two more championships, and after Pat had pulled off the biggest coup we've ever seen in free agency. So it really all revolves around there.
You know, the description of the book is about saving the league, and we look at the NBA right now in 2018, and it feels really healthy. It feels really well-positioned. It feels like it is the sport of the next generation, and it might be the sport of this generation right now. Why in 2010, in that era, did it feel like, when you look back on it, that the league was in a precarious position?
You know, the model was Michael Jordan, right? And when Michael Jordan made his last shot with the Chicago Bulls, the league was obsessed with finding the next Michael, who was going to replace him. First, it was going to be Kobe Bryant. Then it was settled upon this LeBron. LeBron was going to be the next Michael Jordan. He was the chosen one. When he's a junior in high school, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated as the guy who was going to replace Jordan. When that guy, at age 25, is the most talented player in the history of the game, is also the most hated guy in America, that is a terrible model for a league going forward. Especially a league at that time that claimed $1 billion worth of losses over a three-year period, that claimed 22 of its teams was losing money, and they were heading for a lockout. There was a global recession going on at the time, and the NBA was getting ready to shut the league down, which they would do at the end of that season. So everything that we know now about the rivalry, the Cavaliers and the Warriors, and Steph Curry and his three-point shooting, and LeBron as this guy who really has replaced Jordan. He really is the new Jordan. None of that existed back then. All of that was really in doubt. And what happened during that season, and I'm able to tell the story thanks to a lot of people in the NBA opening up to me and confiding me, that changed everything. That put the league on the footing that we see today.
Ian Thompson joins us here on the show. And so now the league is well-positioned, and the league seems to, as you've alluded to in the book, kind of have a confidence about its symbolism, its place in society. What is that symbolism? What place in society does the NBA want to occupy?
You know, it's just so funny to think of. The NBA is still such a young league. It started right after World War II, and it's such a young sport. It's really only beginning its second century of existence. When you look at the other two major sports in our country, we know exactly what they are. We know baseball is the game of summer, right? And football is the game of war. So one game is sort of about peace and tranquility and timelessness, and the other is about military values. Everybody knows that about those two leagues. Basketball was too young to have its identity explained. And as a result, I think, and David Stern tells me this in the book, and he didn't like it at all, but he had to accept the way basketball and the NBA were seen. It was seen as the black sport. And that's just a terrible way of looking at a sport that is, in fact, colorblind. I mean, the NBA is a melting pot league. Players from all over the world, all colors, all religions, all cultures, all shapes and sizes. They come here, and when you watch an NBA game, you're watching the melting pot. You're seeing guys from everywhere having to get along, make it up on the fly, and make it work among each other, form these little communities. And so when Dirk Nowitzki went on to win that championship in 2011 as an immigrant, a guy who came here really not knowing anything about the NBA and building himself up and learning the American game as he did, he really spelled out the NBA, or basketball, I should say, as the sport of the American dream. It's a sport for everybody. And it doesn't matter where you came from. You can live out this dream. You can live it out on your own terms. Doesn't mean you have to be a champion, but there is a role for you on the basketball team if you're willing to work hard enough, if you've got the talent. It's a thing of merit. And so I think that season and that struggle between Dirk and LeBron helped basketball come up with an identity that it hadn't had before, that flies above race. And basketball, to me, is now the sport of the American dream.
Mm. Ian Thompson, longtime NBA writer, has written a book named The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. Check that out. Hey, before I let you go, you might be writing a book one day on this Golden State Warriors team. And so right now they lead 2-0 in their series. Do you think in a Western Conference Finals at full strength with Steph Curry back that the Rockets have the ability to be able to take down this Golden State Warriors team?
They have the ability for sure. I don't think they will. I remember very well, you do too, D.A., and there are a lot of examples. This is just the only one I'm pointing at right now, but there are a lot of examples of this. The 2010 Boston Celtics had been around for a while. They've been contending for a while, and they just looked awful. I think they were a 500 team over their last 54 games in the regular season. Danny Ainge himself, who put together the team as the team president, he thought they were done. He didn't think they had a future left. They flipped the switch, and they went to the NBA Finals, and they feel to this day they should have won Game 7 at L.A. to win the championship. The Warriors just have spent the last 6 weeks between some injuries and just being bored, just wishing they could do away with the last month and a half season, just get on with the playoffs. And I think the hard losses they've had are just going to be inspiring to them and give them this kind of false narrative that they'll believe in their hearts that everybody's given up on them, and gives them even more motivation. They're the best team. They're the most talented team, the most experienced team. They're going to win at this point, I believe, as long as they're healthy.
Ian Thompson, The Soul of Basketball is the book. The epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. Check it out right now on Amazon and other places books are sold. Ian, it is always great to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much. We'll do it again here soon.
I appreciate the DA. Thank you.
You got it. Ian Thompson, our guest this morning here on the DA Show. I'll tell you, you know, I hope that if we do get Warriors and Rockets, that the Rockets really do give at least a scare to Golden State. Because I'm not sure there's anybody in the East that can really challenge Golden State. Really, it feels as though the Rockets are our best shot, at least at a competitive series. And I think we'll get at least that. I really do. I think if we get a Western Finals between these two, we'll get at least that. Because the Rockets can play at a high level, unlike anybody else the NBA really can, except for the Warriors. But there's always the worry that if the Warriors steal an early game in a series, then they can just pour it on. And we've seen these first two games against the Spurs, how quickly a game can flip, and thus how quickly a series can flip. But I'll tell you, I think that this is just a bad matchup for the Spurs. I think this is a really good matchup for the Golden State Warriors. And that I have to imagine it gets harder into the second round and certainly the third round for Golden State moving forward. We'll jump into your phone calls coming up here next. Also, a story out of New England that Tom Brady is leading a revolt against Belichick. Really? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.